The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The champ is here!
It's 5 o'clock.
12 games, 12 wins for Dan Lanning.
This is primetime on Big Ten Championship Week.
Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
Everyone right now is going to be patting us on the back. Who cares?
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on the Odyssey app and 1080.
You're speaking Japanese.
The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Nice to have you along. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. Is it Thursday?
You are correct.
It's Rop and Suk. I'm Rop.
Sada.
Big Suk right over there.
Right here.
Oh, dude.
Look at it.
Not wearing a salmon on my head.
Championship weekend look ahead is coming up. Big one in the NFC West. And, boy, I tell you, this is my favorite topic of the day. We saved the best for last.
The topic du jour?
10 things to watch out for in the upcoming Oregon boys wrestling season.
Oh.
What?
What?
Did you get an email today?
No, I saw it on Oregon Live.
Oh.
And I thought it was so funny that I put it in my notes. No, I mean, not funny. I'm not making fun of the wrestling.
You are making fun
well,
of the
wrestling.
Well,
I mean, who?
Yeah, baby.
First of
you're
all,
making fun of it.
Who on earth has 10 things to watch out for in Oregon boys wrestling? And second, who is that for? Who
all
is reading
the
that?
Parents of wrestlers.
Yeah. So you're doing an article for 75 people? 275 people?
More like 750.
Be careful. I remember once we were talking about Oregon volleyball, and we kind of said the same thing, and Jason Swigard was sitting in there, and that son of a bitch started going off about, like, all the marquee matchups and players of
Here's
Oregon.
The situation.
Of Oregon. I think it was girls volleyball. And it was like, whoa.
Women's?
Women's.
Well, okay. So there's
but they're
one
not women,
guy.
They're girls.
I'm sure he would love the article.
I wonder if Swag is aware of like 7 of the 10.
Yeah.
The Derns Bay should do a quiz.
Do you think there's somebody that will open up that story and go, I knew every one of those?
Dial
probably
in.
That didn't. Yes. I didn't learn a thing.
The local wrestling enthusiast. The regional ones, of course.
If you know wrestling parent, like, I mean, we did a power ranking, and I think we came to the conclusion it's like baseball parent is the most obsessed. Wrestling parent is he's underrated. Wrestling dads, because you always see that wrestling dad goes out on the mat and like assaults referees,
and he's keeping tabs on who should be in what weight classes and who might be cutting corners and
so
stuff.
So, what do you think one of the 10 things to watch out for in the upcoming Oregon boys wrestling season is?
I'm gonna say the returning state champs, Central Catholic.
Did you just make that up? Do you know who won?
No.
Let's find out.
Who the hell won? I don't know.
Well, you're a sports guy.
Doesn't Central Catholic win everything? It's Central Catholic or West Lynn or Jesuit. I don't know. One of the rich schools.
I'm going to go Jesuit.
You know, Jesuit? Yeah.
Let's see here.
I'll go with one of the more maybe like rural. So let me go with like.
Yeah, but that's going to be like 2A.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I guarantee like North Medford won something.
Sure. Exactly. I was thinking along those lines.
Ah! Buck's onto something.
What?
I have the 6A.
It's going to be like Oregon City or Clackamas or
something
like that?
It's our friends out in Newburgh.
There you go.
This damn new, yeah.
The they're always tossing whatever. The hay bales around.
Yeah.
Newburgh 6A, yeah. Dallas 5A.
Yeah, there's a theme here.
Sweet Home 4A, Harrisburg 3A.
I'll tell you what, those city candy ass boys, they can't, you know, they can't mess with them.
Now 2023 6A was won by Westland.
Oh well, see,
you
I
were
was,
close.
I was close.
Yeah, but Newburgh in 2022 rich, and 2020.
Those rich kids from Westland didn't know it hit them when the Newburgh Warhawks.
So I know something. You're going to have to sit through some football talk, but we will get to 10 things to watch out for in the upcoming Oregon boys wrestling season.
I'm up there.
Wait, can you tell us what one of those things is?
Yeah. No, I haven't opened the article
yet. You just wet my whistle with just one?
That's right. No, oh no. Well, okay, I can look for it.
Is girls wrestling a thing yet? I heard it was becoming a thing.
I think they don't they just wrestle with the boys?
Oh, do they? I thought there was enough interest they were going to give the girls their own division and all that.
Yeah, playing with the boys.
I do know that there are at times girls that wrestle
dudes,
with boys.
It's behind a paywall, bro.
Get your 12-foot ladder.
That thing's gone now, man.
Yeah, you can't. It never works.
Oh, no. Find another workaround.
Dude, I've tried. A lot of those things don't work anymore. They're actually making you pay for content.
Maybe it's time to grab a hold of your little step ladders and go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
And by the way, of all the things that you're required to pay for, you want me to pay for the 10 things?
Right. I have to subscribe for the high school wrestling content.
We would have to pay $5 for a day pass to get that content.
A day and pass? $5 better give me the whole month.
I'm not doing it.
Stop day happening. Pass.
And you're not making any money, Oregon Live.
I got an issue with the day pass.
By the way, I got big updates on this. I got multiple sources here.
Yeah.
Central Catholic and Jesuit don't even have wrestling programs.
Oh.
My guess is my guess is Jesus doesn't approve. It's a lot of man on man stuff. They can't have it. The Lord.
Interesting.
You got to leave room for the Holy Spirit in between bodies. It's not cutting it in wrestling.
All right, right now though, we got to get some secondary topics. The hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com.
No, I'm not going to give you no cookie.
Number five.
Just wait till we get the text from Jesuit guy. We didn't have a program or we'd be dominant.
They shut us down because we're so good.
And so we don't even have a problem.
Call me when someone goes on a vision quest, all right? That's all I care about. Who's wrestling? Shoot.
Are you mad that Luis Severino is gone?
I was a little disappointed that we, you know, if you don't
and
know.
And he's not only gone, he's going to the A's.
That was kind of the weird thing. Like, he was a monster for the Mets last year. And I just kind of was, if you're going to lose him, you lost him to the A's?
Yeah, the A's have handed out their most expensive contract in franchise history. And it's a rather meager, 3 years, $67 million.
Doesn't that say something that's the most expensive contract in A's history?
To Mets starter Luis Severino, 11 wins, 3.91 ERA a year ago. Now, there are reports that the Mariners are interested in trading for Phillies third baseman Alex Bohm. He hit 280 with 97 ribbies. He was an all-star this past season.
So he'll hit 212 with...
Correct.
12 home runs and 47 RBI.
Boy, if that isn't an absolutely perfect candidate to do a lot worse in Seattle than in Philly.
I guarantee if he ends up going there, that we will at some point next year be looking to know what the hell happened to him.
Big 12 awards, Arizona State's Kenny Dillingham, Coach of the Year. No. Him or Matt Campbell, probably, right?
Yeah.
Certainly not Lance Leipold. Bum. Colorado stars Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, offensive and defensive player of the year. Georgia is taking on Texas in the SEC title game. The Bulldogs are hoping to get star running back Trevor Etienne back. He had 3 tutties in the first meeting. So. Cool.
Kind of here.
We got a mute over there.
I was busy reading about
number 3.
117th in offense. That's not good enough for UCLA. They want to be in the top 100.
Well, did you see this? There's weird conflicting stories about this.
They have fired offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy.
So you haven't seen this?
Well, they said Indiana co-offensive coordinator Tino Sunseri.
I have seen this, Kasuk.
is expected to accept the gig. What am I missing?
So Eric, so his agent
says he didn't get fired.
Yeah, his agent is saying he didn't get fired. His agent is saying that the only reason that Bienemy took that job in the first place is that he was kind of in between jobs. He wanted to stay busy.
He was getting paid by the Commanders.
He was getting paid by the Commanders, and he said Foster is basically like Bienemy's little brother, so he took the job with the understanding it would only be a 1-year job.
Help him out for his first season.
And so they're saying that Bienemy left of his own accord to go apply at NFL jobs.
Oh, okay.
But
it doesn't necessarily add up. Yeah. So we're like, did you actually leave on your own?
What's up with that guy?
Well,
apparently people hate him.
Yeah, he's an ass, right?
People just don't like him. Treats people poorly.
A number of years ago, and I do think people should apologize because there were a lot of people that were called racist.
Yeah, and that's true.
And then that the only reason he wasn't getting a job was because of the color of his skin. And it turns out the dude just is an ass.
He's miserable to work with.
People don't like. Yeah. So.
All right. Inside Carolina reports the great Bill Belichick is interviewed for the North Carolina opening, vacated by Mac Brown.
We were just talking about this the other day, that for places like Carolina or what was the other one, like West Virginia, these are the only sort of jobs that a guy like Bill Belichick is going to get.
Others to reportedly interview are Tulane coach John Sumrall and Georgia defensive coordinator Glenn Schumann.
And I will tell you right now, I'd rather have either one of those guys, and this sounds crazy. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, and if I was North Carolina, I would want nothing to do with him.
Now, by the Rop kind of Coach Holmgren logic, does that mean that we should bet Army against Tulane?
No, I would not bet Army because I think initially, it's interesting you asked that. I was just looking at that today. I'm like, I want to bet Tulane because
you find those spots. You're good at finding those spots.
Well, Tulane beat Navy 35-0. Like, and this guy Sumrall's played one of the academies every year, and he kicks the crap out of him. They don't score on him, and the spread's only 4. But I'm not going to bet it. I'm not betting Army, but I'm not going to bet it because he could be 1 foot out the door. And if he is,
and that's what I'm saying.
And this is it at West Point. I'm not touching it. But
by the way, he is more than one. He will not be the coach at Tulane next year.
And he's a good coach, man. Yeah. That guy, he's got a lot of Dan Lanning in him.
Yeah.
Kind of intense.
That's why he ain't staying at Tulane.
Packers visiting the Lions Thursday night football. This is not counting Aiden Hutchinson, but Detroit is down 3 on the defensive front due to injury. They had to sign 3 guys off of other teams' practice squads.
They have 18 guys on IR, 14 of them on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, there's no one in the NFL that's doing.
How many are supposed to come back either by season's end or by the playoffs?
Some of it is kind of up in the air. They're going to get some back. Some, obviously, are season-ending. Like, they just lost Malcolm Rodriguez to a season-ender. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson's out for the year. But some, hopefully, will come back. But it is a mass unit. And their best offensive lineman, Decker, is out of this one again.
It is just underway. The Lions winning the first meeting in Green Bay, 24-14. Championship weekend look-ahead is coming up next. This Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. This is The Fam. There's been some speculation about Urban Meyer returning to Ohio State.
Yeah. He had to come out and release a statement.
Yeah, he put a statement out today saying that he has no interest in returning to coaching.
No.
At all.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean, his reputation is mud. It almost killed him multiple times. He's probably making a ton of money doing the broadcast stuff. He's already made a ton of money. He's won 3 national championships. Like, what more does that guy have to come back to?
Well, the game has changed so much, too.
Exactly.
You know, he may not want any part of this NIL world.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know that I would.
Well, and maybe it's, too, that, you know, you have to say it. But, I mean, Ryan Day, he's 60 years old. But, I mean, he's obviously friendly with Ryan Day. I mean, he was on his staff. He's the one that, you know, that took over for Urban. So, the fact that he released a statement saying he doesn't want the job probably means that he will be the next coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. But, I mean, look, if Lincoln Riley had to address the fact that Central Florida came calling, I guess Urban probably should address the fact that...
Did Lincoln say something about that?
Yeah, he kind of scoffed.
He said, "I'm a USC Trojan.
USC Trojan through and through, and you know, all
Central
that.
Florida,
Central Florida."
God, man.
I think the idea is Central Florida knew that the buyout for USC was ridiculous, and so it was the idea of, "Hey, if the buyout's the only thing keeping you, maybe we help you out with that." But turns out Lincoln Riley does not want to go to Central Florida.
All right, let's get into some of these championship games. It's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah,
I don't know why we need this weekend, but. Whatever.
I mean, I guess the buys and... Well, the reason why we need them is because there's a bunch of money.
Yeah, I get it.
That's on the line.
But I'd rather just fast forward to a 16-team tournament.
Would be nice.
Let's get this thing underway.
Yeah. Although it'd be weird. I guess you'd... I mean, you used to, but before title games, you used to have co-champions. I mean, you'd have a lot of co-champions. Like, for instance, Penn State. Yeah. Well, I guess it wouldn't be. Yeah, because Oregon's undefeated. Never mind.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a co.
That wouldn't be co. But because I thought, well, Ohio State lost in the non-conference, but they didn't. But yeah, back in the day, there used to be co-champions all the time.
Yeah, I'm looking here. SEC would not be a co-champion, right? Because Texas only lost once. But they lost to Georgia.
They lost to Georgia.
But Georgia lost more conference games. So
yeah, there's still only a one-loss team,
yeah,
right?
Texas would technically be that champion. SMU would certainly be the ACC champion.
Yep, their only loss would be to BYU.
The Big 12 would be a tie. That's Arizona State and Iowa State. They have the identical records.
And if there's conference ties...
Actually, it would be a four-way tie. If you look at the... Because they did tiebreakers to get those two teams.
Yeah.
BYU, Colorado, Iowa State, and Arizona State are all 7-2 in the league.
Obviously a tie, you know. A tie.
Honestly, at this point, does like I know conference titles. By the way, the Lions, just their offense is so good. They hot knife through butter the first series, just right down the Packers' throats. Now we'll see if they can stop anyone. But in this world now of expanded playoffs, 12 teams, and like you said, if we got rid of this, maybe we could go to 16. Do conference titles really mean, like, if Oregon wins tomorrow? Or I guess that'd be Saturday. If they win and then get bounced in their first game, does anyone really care that they won the Big Ten?
Well, actually, I think that's the one scenario where I would say it's cool that at least they're Big Ten champions.
Yeah,
they won because obviously you get bounced in the first round. That's a home game. You lose. Well, it actually wouldn't be a home game.
Neutral.
They wouldn't play in the first round. So you're saying they would get bounced in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I'm saying if you get bounced in your first playoff game, the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I think it's nice to be the big.
Is that a feather in your cap?
I think it's nice to be the Big Ten champ. That said, I think it's more important to everyone right now that they win this game for seeding as opposed to bragging rights.
I guess that's my thing. And then let's flip it. Let's say you lose to Penn State. You're not the Big Ten champs. But you make a run and you end up playing for a national title. You don't win. Isn't that better? I don't know the significance of conference championships anymore. I really don't.
Well, I think a lot of people are questioning that. And, you know, again, college football moves at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
Well, especially when they're going to potentially work against you like they might in SMU's case.
Well, yeah. So I think they'll eventually figure this out. I mean, I think the one area where the championship would, if you were able to balance the schedules where these leagues, where they all played each other and you just played it out on the field, you didn't have to have a championship game, that would be freaking cool. Because then you could get rid of championship games. No one would care because if you have all play eight league games and you all play each other, there's only seven other teams, you know.
Yeah.
It's perfect, but these leagues have freaking 20 teams in them.
Because I guess the conference title game, I mean, it comes into play for teams like Arizona State, for teams like Clemson, UNLV. That you get a chance, right? Even if you've lost some games early, you get a chance to kind of resurrect your season and one chance to win it all. It's like the old basketball. The NCAA basketball version of this, and I've always hated that in some of these smaller conferences, you can get a team that wins like 27 games, the best team all year, and then they lose one game in their conference tournament, and they don't get to go because that league's stupid. Only getting one berth. Like, and I know that it's a little apples to oranges here, but I just wonder where the conference title games are going to go as this thing kind of rolls on.
Well, you should probably just get rid of them, make the tournament 16 teams. You know, the other thing that nobody's really talking about, you realize these games for Oregon, let's say if Oregon wins, they don't play again until the 1st of January.
I know, it's weird.
So if you...
That's like the old bowl games.
If you just get rid... Well, I guess it is, but that's ridiculous when that's still just the first... their first game of the tournament.
Yeah.
When the old bowl games, that was the last game.
Yeah.
So it's... They got to move everything up, and if you get rid of championship weekend, we can go right into a 16-team tournament this weekend.
Because I will say that one of the biggest problems is the idea of a month off. There's just no other...
It's too much.
I get it. You want to give a team a bye or whatever. That's fine. But it's always been... I've always found that, especially back in the day when there was no playoff, just the idea that you took a month off and then you rolled out on the field and was like, all right, now we decide it. I mean, that's just such a long-ass layoff.
Just the extra week, like between the Super Bowl or the extra week before the college football championship is just too much. It's because you lose momentum for your sport.
Yes.
Back when it was just that one singular game, the teams would have to wait like 47 days between their last game and the title. It was crazy.
Absurd.
Yeah.
Because everyone would end around this time, and then they'd national title the 10th or the 13th.
So that's the one thing I'll say is that this system may not be perfect, but God, it's so much better than
they're getting there.
They're getting there. It just takes a while. And everyone says this is a 2-year experiment. And at the end of this 2 years, so this is year one, at the end of next year, this will look decidedly different. Whether that's no conference games, whether it's 16 expanded, whether the conference title games no longer, have the buys. Wait till Boise gets a bye, and that's not going to happen again. I guarantee the powers be aren't going to stand for that. Brett Yormark, who's the Big 12 commissioner, of course, now he's all fired up. You see, he's all pissing and moaning, yelling and screaming at everybody.
Like, I hear from him in the next branded report.
Yeah, like no one's happy. Everyone just is constantly in a state of bitching and moaning about this. And eventually the kinks are going to get worked out.
All right, coming up next, let's go through the games. Starts with UNLV Boise tomorrow night. We'll get through all the championship weekend contests when we return. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
What?
All right, let's get into these conference championship games. We've got two games tomorrow night. UNLV, Boise. They're in Boise.
That's an interesting game.
It is an interesting game.
I'm kind of excited for that.
Because the winner goes to the tournament.
Winner goes to the tournament. And more importantly, I mean, if Boise wins, it sure feels like they get the bye.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like Arizona State's going to, or anyone else, Iowa State's going to jump them. Now, if UNLV wins, then the winner of the Big 12 would get the bye. So there's a couple.
Except that you didn't hear the Mountain West commissioner today who came out and said the winner of this game should get a bye.
Yeah, eat it. Stop it. I don't think it bothers me enough that Boise State's getting a bye. And this game, by the way, I mean, it was a 5-point game. And that was at UNLV, the first time they played. And let's be honest, I don't know if you've watched a little bit, but Boise State ain't exactly playing their best ball.
No, and I've seen UNLV. They beat Kansas, and this quarterback's pretty good.
Yeah.
And remember, UNLV had a weird year because their quarterback quit.
Quit?
And this guy's come in, and they haven't skipped a beat. And the other thing about this game is UNLV, believe it or not, held Ashton Gentry to his worst yards per carry of the season.
And he's nicked up. He is not the same player that he was. He's been battling some injuries. And you look at UNLV's losses. Turns out Syracuse, by the way, is a pretty good team that won 9 games. That was a 44-41 loss to Syracuse. And then Boise clipped him by 5. So I don't know what the spread on this game, but this kind of feels like
four.
This kind of feels like a coin flip game to me.
Yeah, it should be good. It's on the blue turf.
Yeah.
So
this is the only of the conference championship games that's actually being played at a home stadium.
They're saying 35 degrees, so that could, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's chilly, but it's supposed to be clear. I don't think there's any rain or snow.
But that's at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And also at 5 tomorrow, Army hosts Tulane for the coveted American Athletic Championship.
Yes.
And this is the game we were talking about in the Hot 5. But this guy for Tulane, he is a hot shot, hot name coach out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be 1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
Because he's interviewed at North Carolina, reportedly. And who knows what other job. I mean, Purdue's open.
And there's a belief that he may bring his quarterback with him, who's a freshman that's having a nice year. So, you know, just keep an eye on that because, you know, Tulane's a good team, but Army is 10-1. And, you know, Army is a unique style, obviously. And I just think it'd be really cool to see Army get a crack at this and end up winning it. And
even, well, they are going to get a crack at it.
Yeah. I mean, they're 10-1. I mean, no, they're not in any sort of consideration to jump anybody, but you know, before Tulane lost at the end of last week, there was an idea that maybe if UNLV won, maybe Tulane would be able to sneak in there. But this is just basically for the right to claim your conference championship.
Yeah, and it, you know, I guess it should be good. I don't know. The weather's going to be cold there too. They're playing at West Point.
Yeah, they're up in Mitchie Stadium there,
and it gets a little breezy.
I just love the idea of I love the service academies, and
that would be cool for them to win it.
It would be awesome because remember a number of years ago, and it's kind of flipped, but the guy that they went out and hired, Jeff Monken, I think is his name.
Yeah.
There was a really cool 60 Minutes piece on him where for a long time, Army football was a joke. And Navy under Ken Niumatalolo. Yeah. Was bitch slapping Army. And the military got together and said, this is unacceptable. Like, we are going to turn this around. And they brought this guy in and he has done an amazing job there at Army. And now with a chance to your only loss on the year to beat a Notre Dame and win a conference championship. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think this is kind of a mismatch talent-wise. But again, with Summerall maybe on his way out or distracted. Who knows? I'm with you. I'm rooting for Army to try to pull that off.
And watch it. Bryson Daly is the quarterback in Army, and the dude's a linebacker. He's like 6 feet, 230.
Does he ever throw?
Well, not really.
Ever.
Not really.
How many times a game?
More than past Army quarterbacks, but still not much.
Really? They run. See, Navy does at least some kind of variations. Army runs triple. I mean, it's the wishbone. They run triple option.
Oh, yeah.
And they got like 250, 260-pound fullbacks. Navy tries to kind of fancy it up a little bit. Army goes old school, and I love it.
Okay, so those two games are tomorrow. Saturday morning, 9 a.m., Iowa State, Arizona State. Very interesting game. They're playing this in Texas. Again, all these games are small spreads, all four of the big Power Four championship games on Saturday.
And unlike the other ones, I mean, these two that we talked about with Boise and now this one, this is win and in, lose and go home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is for a spot. Arizona State is a slight favorite, but they lost their big stud wide receiver. So I think a lot of people are looking at this going, well, if Iowa State can slow down Scataboo, then they've got a real shot here. I got to tell you, I've watched Iowa State enough to not really appreciate them.
Yeah.
I will say their quarterback looks like he can turn it over at any second. That's and the Arizona State
kid or whatever.
Yeah, and Arizona State, Levitt's looking great. Iowa State, here's the stat for this game. This is why I bet on Arizona State. One, I trust Kenny Dillingham. I think he's just legit. Yeah.
He's got a dog mentality.
Two, I think they have the better quarterback. And three, Scataboo, the Arizona State running back.
He has a burger that's great.
He has an NIL burger. And Iowa State has given up 5.6 yards per carry.
Mm.
So I feel like Arizona State can control this game, but Iowa State's really well coached. So that could be a barn burner. That's at 9 o'clock.
By the way, Westland's own.
Yeah.
Sam Levitt.
He's doing great.
Pulling the strings down there.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Georgia, Texas, SEC. It's a rematch from earlier this year where Georgia won 30-15. That's at 1 o'clock on ABC. I mean, what can you say? Excellent matchup.
This is an excellent matchup. And I think for a lot of people, like, Texas checks all the boxes, but it's hard to eliminate just how bad they played it in the first half. In the second half, it was, I think they may have actually outscored Georgia.
No, they won the second half.
They won the second half.
Yeah.
So that first half where it just spiraled out of control. Remember, that was the one where they sat down Quinn Ewers and they tried to get a spark with Arch Manning and it didn't really happen there. So I think I think Texas has a chance to come at us because they're in either way, right? Texas and Georgia are both going, that much we know. But I think Texas, even though Oregon's the undefeated team and I think Oregon's the most complete team, I think Texas here has a chance, at least from a national narrative perspective, and certainly with Vegas, to kind of grab this thing by the throat and be like, we're the best team.
Yeah, they certainly do.
Yeah.
And I think this game, this is a great, I mean, come on, man.
It's everything you could want.
Yes.
In a neutral site game
because
Atlanta.
Yeah, it's in Atlanta. And that helps Georgia. But I just feel like it comes down to the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And neither have been that great. I know Beck has been a lot better in the last four or five games. But in the first game, he threw three picks, and Georgia still won by double digits.
Yep.
I just don't think Texas is going to get overwhelmed by Georgia like they did in the first half of the first game. So I imagine this comes down to whether Quinn Ewers, who got freaking lit up by Georgia in that game, if Quinn Ewers can be the Quinn Ewers that we thought he would be, or we think he is, Texas is going to win this game because, let's be honest, Texas's defense is just better than Georgia's offense.
Yeah.
It just is.
It is.
Because Brock Bowers isn't out there.
Yeah.
And who's the other guy that they lost? Weapon, Georgia, gone. Michi. Is that his name?
Mechie.
He's gone. Carson Beck looks worse because he just doesn't have a lot of studs to throw to.
Yeah.
At least like the guys before. And Texas is going to, I just feel like Texas's defense is going to be a problem for Georgia. But then on the other side, Quinn Ewers has got to be good. So I really do feel like it comes down to the quarterbacks.
Well, and remember, they're Texas's best offensive lineman, the first-round pick, Kelvin Banks, got hurt against Texas A&M, and his status is up in the air. So that's a big one, too, because Ewers can get rattled. And you're right.
Yeah.
This may just come down to simply what quarterback doesn't screw up.
Yeah, because Ewers, they boat raced A&M.
Yeah.
But Ewers kept him in the game.
Yes.
And the interception wasn't really his fault. It was a tip ball. But he has terrible pocket presence. Yep. And then on the fumble, somebody came from behind and stripped him of the ball. He's just got to take care of the ball.
Yeah. It's
they can make.
It's just weird that we're talking about Texas and Georgia, who came into the year with the two guys that a lot of people thought were going to be top three picks in the NFL draft. And both schools are kind of like, just don't screw it up.
Well, they weren't that great this year.
No, they were
neither
not.
Of them.
No.
And you wonder, too, if Ewers is not playing well, you wonder if they do go to Arch in this, because Arch has a little bit more of the running component, and that has hurt Georgia.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Ewers makes mistakes early and throws a pick, I think they'll go to Sark. I mean,
that was a surprise earlier in the year when they went away from Ewers. People like that's done them, but the fact he's done it once before makes you think he'll do it again.
Don't you think that if this game right here, I don't think this is a stretch to say that this game right here could determine whether Quinn Ewers is in the transfer portal or not.
100%.
Right here.
Yes.
Because if he does not play well and again, they're still in the tournament even if they don't win.
Yeah.
So Sark may just stick with Ewers. But if he doesn't play well, and they put Arch in for a spark,
he's gone.
Ewers is probably gone. And he's probably quarterbacking Oregon next year.
Because I don't think he's going to go to the NFL. I don't think he's done anything to help his stock. And I think he can probably make more money in college right now. I mean, his draft stock is plummeting. So, yeah, this is a big one. And by the way, Nick Saban did it in the championship game when he sat Jalen Hurts, who was a hell of a lot more accomplished than Quinn Ewers. I mean, honestly, right now, I'm not going to say Quinn Ewers is all hype, but the legend of Quinn Ewers is a lot better than what Quinn Ewers is putting on the field. But, I mean, he took him to the playoff last year, but couldn't get over the hump against Washington. And this year, it just kind of feels like, I don't know, you're waiting for maybe the other shoe to drop. And I just think it's fascinating that Georgia and Texas are playing, and both of the quarterbacks are the question mark. And you also wonder, too, like with Sark, if you can kind of rely on Arch to pick up some first downs with his legs, do you kind of try to pull what Ohio State did with Will Howard and just play around the quarterback and say, hey, man, Arch, we're going to keep it real simple. Use your legs, pick up some key third downs, and we're just going to rely on our defense to choke out Georgia.
Yeah. Well, that's a great matchup. 1 o'clock ABC. When we come back, we'll talk Oregon, Penn State, and the ACC game as well on the Fan. Slight correction. We were talking about Georgia's weapons.
Couldn't think of who the receiver was that they lost, and I couldn't think of his name.
Well, Buck said Michi. That's the old Alabama guy.
Well, you said Michi, and I was just getting the pronunciation right.
Oh.
He was the guy that was...
Ladd McConkey is who we were thinking of.
There you go.
And he's now with the Chargers.
Michi ended up getting cancer.
That's right.
And
Texans, right?
Yeah, with the Texans, but he's back.
So two more championship games, the later games. So you'll get Iowa State, Arizona State, Saturday at 9. 1 o'clock is Georgia, Texas. And then you get two of them at 5. And, of course, your Ducks being one of those. Mm-hmm. They play Penn State, of course, in Indianapolis.
Which we've talked about time and time again. I mean.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've spent time on the game. We talked to Dan Lanning earlier. Look, I don't think Penn State has enough weapons to beat Oregon. I do think they have what it takes to drag Oregon into deep water, much like Wisconsin.
I thought you said it best when you said Penn State and Wisconsin, there's one path to victory.
Yeah, they can only win the game one way.
Yes.
But I do fear that they will make the game that way.
Sure.
And it will be a tough game. And Oregon, I think, has enough weapons to pull it out. I've been saying all along, I think the big thing for Oregon has everything at all levels, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no weakness.
No, it's the most complete team.
I think when you get to this stage of the game and moving forward into the playoff, much like we were talking about with Ewers and Carson Beck, it really comes down to your weapons. Like, as long as everything else is relatively equal on the fronts, which I think in this game it is, you look at Aller versus Gabriel, and then you look at the Oregon receivers and running backs against what Penn State's bringing to the table, it's not even close. I don't think Penn State can get enough pressure. Even if they get pressure, you're talking, you know, they blitz, you're talking one-on-one on Ferguson, on Tez, on Stewart. Good luck, Penn State. That's why I just think Oregon's got a little bit more. But I do think this could be an interesting game. Is a reason why the spread's only 3.5, but I feel pretty confident, as I think you do too, that Oregon should win.
Yeah, when I look at Tyler Warren, who's the tight end from Penn State, and then Abdul Carter, they have the two best players in this game.
And Carter could be a game wrecker by himself.
By himself. And something tells me that both of those guys are going to get extra attention. The nice part about with Warren, your linebackers can run. You don't have the biggest linebackers in the world, but they all can run. So I think you're going to see a linebacker and a safety over the top wherever Ty Warren goes. I just think you're going to say someone else has to beat
us. Well, yeah, because none of the other guys really scare you,
and
right?
The second, so Warren has 81 catches, the best tight end in America. There's next best receiver who, by the way, may not play. He's beat up. He's got 35 catches, and then after that, it's their running back. Like, there just isn't enough. They do not have weapons on the outside. And so I think you can, kind of what you were talking about with Oregon, I think Oregon can spend a lot of attention on stopping what Penn State does. With Oregon, you're too balanced. And this is what Ohio State tried to do. Ohio State tried to come out and say, hey, we're going to play man on the outside, and we're going to stop your run. And Oregon cooked them. And got him out of that look real, real fast. And I know Penn State has a good secondary too, but Ohio State secondary was supposed to be one of the best in the country, and they couldn't handle it. I just don't know how many people can handle what Oregon's bringing on the outside, which again goes back to, can you contain Carter on the outside, who will be by far the best defensive player you've seen? But again, I would expect Chips. I would expect Ferguson to stay in and block on some of those, or at least Chip on the way out, maybe slide some protections. And
shut up.
I just think, like you said, Oregon is more of a complete team. And at the end of the day, the next time Drew Aller comes through in a big game will be the first time. And Dylan Gabriel is an old season vet. And I just, at the end of the day, when a quarterback is, to me, is that much of a mismatch, I'm taking the Ducks.
Yeah, I just think this is the time of year where the big stud, you know, your big skill guys are the difference and can be the difference. And that's why I said Texas, Georgia, same thing. Yeah. And here as well, Penn State, the one thing about Penn State, we talked about this earlier, they have nothing to lose.
No.
They did not think they would be in this game.
Throw the kitchen sink at them.
And even if they don't win this game, they're still in the tournament. So they may take more risks. They may scheme up some explosives or you know, try some different things that we haven't seen. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. But Oregon should win the game. I think people will be very disappointed if they don't.
And the other thing to keep an eye on, Penn State is one of the best first and second down teams in the Big Ten, right? It's their whole MO. They are one of the worst. I think they're like 15th in the Big Ten in third and long situations, so third and six. Like, they do not convert. If Penn State gets behind chains, if there's penalties, if there's run stops on first and second down, Drew Aller is not going to beat you on third and six, third and seven. So I want to see if Penn State comes out and tries to establish the run, or do they come out and try to do some stuff throwing the ball early to try to avoid third and obvious passing situations, because that's going to be problematic. And Penn State, one of Penn State's best offensive linemen, their right tackle, he's out, and they got a freshman playing in there who they think may turn into something. But again, you got a young kid out there and expect to see Uiagalelei and some of the other rushers. That Oregon defensive line is nasty. So this to me is a tough matchup, but we saw Penn State and Oregon go toe-to-toe and be decided by one play. And Penn State,
you mean,
and
Ohio State?
Oh, yeah, Ohio State and Oregon. And yeah, we saw Penn State and Ohio State. Same thing.
It was right down to the wire.
It was right down to the wire. Yeah. I mean,
I mean, Penn State is inches from being undefeated.
Yes.
And Oregon is inches from being one loss. And then how would we look at this?
Exactly. Or two. So we both sit up here and say that we really like Oregon, but I do think that there are some Duck fans that are just kind of dismissing Penn State.
Yeah.
And
be careful.
Be careful with that.
Yeah, but I trust them. And then last, it's SMU Clemson, which is a strange ACC title game, but it would be wild if SMU can go from, dude, they were Group of Five last year.
Yeah.
They could go from Group of Five to winning a Power Four league in one season.
That they paid their way in. They didn't get a dollar in TV money, and they won't for the rest of this contract. They just said, we want access to this right here.
It's also the thing that most said would never happen, including you, I think. If SMU wins, it is likely that a three-loss team makes this tournament.
Yeah.
Alabama. Now, if SMU loses to Clemson, Clemson takes that spot.
Now it gets sticky.
And now it gets hairy, because now the committee's deciding between SMU and Alabama.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
And that could get
in real. What world do they not take Alabama?
In a world that is absolute horse bleep. Because
they're going to take them because they want that brand in there.
The idea that you could punish SMU, who would still be a two-loss team versus a three-loss Alabama, and one of those losses coming in the conference title game, As bad as Florida State got jobbed last year, this would be right there with one of the biggest travesties.
And remember, the committee chair has already set you up for it. He's already told you, if you lose this game, you could move down, but if you're not playing, you won't move at all.
It's just so stupid. The idea that making a conference title game, because here's the thing, if by some weird tiebreaker SMU wasn't playing in this game, they're number eight. They're the eighth team in the country right now. If somehow in some dumb tiebreaker they weren't playing in this game, SMU would be safe. They would 100% in. Yeah. They'd be Indiana. And yet there's a chance that a three-loss Alabama team that just got their asses whipped by a 500 Oklahoma team is going to get an over them. I just, that won't sit right with me.
Well, I don't know about the game matchup. I know that Clemson has a lot better players than SMU.
Yep.
But SMU has a mean defensive front. And when you, I was looking at Clemson, when they play anything with even remotely a good defensive line,
they get bullied.
Yeah, they are not good.
No.
And neither is Klubnik. So hard to pick this one. I don't know. I don't have a feel. Because I haven't seen enough of SMU. I just know that they're really damn, they're obviously really good. It's just, I don't know. I'm always inclined to take the team with more, the better players.
Better players.
And Clemson has a lot of dudes.
The thing that's like you said it. If SMU has a path to this, and the reason why they'll win is that Clemson's offense folds in the face of a good front, and this SMU front is a Power Five front.
Yeah, South Carolina. I mean, they only scored 14 points against them.
Yeah, beat them up.
All right. Well, we didn't get to 10 things to watch out for in the upcoming Oregon boys wrestling season. Damn it.
And you're gone tomorrow, so...
It's over!
Maybe Monday. Maybe Monday.
Yeah, that's the good thing is we have time.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know we're going to be recapping Conference Championship weekend, but I feel like we need to carve out at least an hour.
At least. Maybe a special show?
I would think so. Special broadcast.
All right, well, let's get to the real topic, and that is an assassination.
Dude,
In broad daylight.
I am... just fascinated. This is like Titanic sub for me.
It's going to make a great true crime podcast someday.
Oh, yeah.
That's next. Club 1080 on The Fan.